Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for the opportunity to feed your people. I thank you, Father, that the hearts are open wide to receive the seed tonight. The spirit man is alive and well. And that, Father God, you're going to go deep into our spirit tonight. You're going to do a work that you have never done before, Father. And Father, I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Tonight, I'm going to teach you about heal the sick. Now, I'm doing this for a couple reasons. I was reading, I read a book about Catherine Kuhlman, started to, and it made me think about a lot of things about healing. I thought about Benny Hinn and his healing ministry. And yeah, I'm going to come right up front and say, if God has anointed you with a special healing, special anointing for healing, it's not going to happen. Now, we know that Benny Hinn one time testified that he always held his crusades, just like Catherine Kuhlman did. And he was in Baltimore and got caught up in traffic, and he called somebody there at the Civic Center, wherever he was at. They said, well, don't worry about it. God's already showed up. The healings are already taking place. And Benny Hinn got upset because he wasn't there. Because everybody thought Benny Hinn was bringing the anointing, you know. Benny Hinn wrote this himself. But what I want you to know is, see, because Benny Hinn was a vessel that God anointed, and Benny Hinn held the crusade so God could show up and heal, whether Benny Hinn was there or not, God still healed. See this? But it was because of Benny Hinn that God showed up. And Benny Hinn paid the price for that anointing. Catherine Kuhlman, I watched a lot of her videos quite a few years ago, and she never laid hands on anybody. She just told her testimony over and over again, called people up on the stage and said, what did you get healed of? And they told her, and she laid hands on me, went out in the spirit. They were already healed while they were sitting down in their seat before they ever come up on the stage. All right? And this is where I'm coming from. When God called me into the ministry, I never prayed for God to heal somebody. I just said, God can do this. And I said, be healed in the name of Jesus. And it happened, you know. So if God gives you a special anointing for healing, then no matter what happens, it is going to take place. And this one here I'm going to teach about because I ran across this man's testimony in reading about healing, looking through the scriptures. And he's saying that God didn't tell us to pray for the sick. And he didn't, and I'm going to give you scriptures for that. And we've got to look at healing in a different way. You know, we think that, well, I have to have somebody lay hands on me or I won't recover, and that's not true. Many of you can, if you pray for your own self, you can attest to the fact that as you prayed for yourself, the healing started taking place. We always think we have to run to somebody and have them lay hands on us, and we really don't. All right, let's go ahead and go through this now. This is a testimony of this young man. The Lord Jesus called me to a healing ministry in 1993. Through the years, I've had opportunity to speak to many ministers and read many books about healing. But most spoke about praying for the sick, and it didn't seem to produce a great percentage of results. I want to stop there and just say this. When I first got born again, for some reason or other, and I guess it's because of an anointing, I believed everything that was in the Word. If God said we would do it, I did it, because God said so. And that's how I got to praying for the raising of the dead. I would say, God, it says in your word that I have the anointing to raise the dead, and I want this person raised from the dead right now. And he would raise them from the dead. I didn't sit and pray over them for hours upon hours. I would just spoke that. The one young man, I did spend 30 days and nights in the hospital, but I didn't pray over him. I just sat by his bed and said, God, I'm sitting here waiting for the miracle to occur. That was my prayer, because I got to think about it. What did I do? I just was there fasting all that time, saying, God, I want this miracle to occur. This man came back to life 3 times, died 3 times. God brought him back 3 times. The third time he come back, he looked at me. He said, all right, so you want me here. I'm going to stay here, I'll say, to October 10th. On October 10th, I'll go home. October the 10th, they released him from the hospital. But each one of these people that, you know, I prayed for that was raised from the dead, they all told me that they had to come back, and God opened the heavens and said, you have to go back because she's praying. I wasn't praying over the person. I said, God, your word says, and this is what I would always say, your word said that I can raise the dead. I want this person raised from the dead. And I go on to why that person needed to be raised from the dead because of their calling. But each one of them said, God did let them see me down there sitting, praying for him to he said, I have to send you back because she's given me the word. Are you getting this? See, God had to, he had to honor his word. And I'd say, God, your word says that I can raise the dead. I want this person raised. Now, when I raised a dead dog, I did that because I didn't want my grandson to go and tell the church I was a deacon and said that I hit the dog in the head and killed him, all right? So I begged God, please, dog, God, please raise this dog back to life. Please bring him back to life because he's going to go and tell them he's already stood there threatening. If you don't pray harder, I'm going to go and tell them that you hit him on the head with a broom. And so God brought the dog back to life. The dog was dead. I didn't pray over the dog. I just cried out to God. You've got to bring this dog back or I'm really going to be disgraced. All right? So when somebody heard that they brought me their dead cat, I said, I'm sorry, I'm not praying over no dead cat. Amen? I don't like cats. But anyhow, no, I just was not going to pray over animals. This was an emergency. You know, I needed a miracle to happen. I didn't do it deliberately. It was an accident, but still, no, I killed his poor dog. And so anyhow, that dog walked around for a whole month, its head like this here, and his tongue hanging out. And I think that was to torment me. And I kept saying, in the name of Jesus, head straighten up. Finally, his head came around, and he was fine. But I really think he did. I think God let him do that to show, teach me a lesson about brooms and dogs' heads, right? All right, let's go into this. He said, the Lord Jesus called me to a healing ministry in 1993. Through the years, I've had opportunity to speak to many ministers and read many books about healing. But most spoke about praying for the sick, and it didn't seem to produce a great percentage of results. It made me wonder why all these prayers weren't getting the sick healed, right? Most of my Bible study is spent in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Why? Because I want to know how Jesus did things and what he taught his disciples to do. And see, this is what God told me to do. Get in my word and see what Jesus did. And this is what you have to do if you're going to do it right. One day when asking the Lord why so many people, this is what this young man says. One day when asking the Lord why so many people were not being healed these days, the Holy Spirit impressed very strongly on me. I didn't tell my disciples to pray for the sick. I told them to heal the sick. All right. I did a search through the Gospels looking for every time that Jesus prayed for the sick and could not find any. Nor could I find any place where Jesus instructed his disciples to pray for the sick. However, he did command them in Matthew 10:8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you have received, freely give. Now, tonight I'm teaching this and I'm going to teach some more on healing, but what I'm getting at here is we will talk about prayer too, but we need to speak to the disease and command it to go in Jesus' name. Amen. We need to stop standing there for 10 hours rubbing our heads and, you know, and shouting and screaming and carrying on. We just need to speak and it needs to be done. I remember when I first started my ministry, well, all through my ministry, really until 10 years ago or so, people would just walk into the church and all of a sudden I'd hear myself, I perceive there's sickness in the body, or I perceive this or I perceive that. And all of a sudden, you know, people would start yelling and screaming. They got healed. I didn't pray for nobody. I just said, I perceive. And other times, you know, one time I was praying, I was holding a service, and this girl walked up, and she said, I have this cast on my leg, and they say I'm going to be on this cast the rest of my life. And I said, well, let me pray for God to heal your leg. So I bent down, never touched a woman's leg. And I said, God, your word says that we should be whole in Jesus' name. And when I did that, she screamed. And I said, scared me. And I said, what's wrong? She said, when you laid your hands on me, it was a red fire, a hot fire went through my legs. I said, I never touched you. She said, yes, you did. I didn't. But God healed her leg. And she, from the last time I heard years later, she was never wearing a brace again. You see, I didn't pray for her leg. I just told God what his word said. You can call that praying if you like, but I'm trying to get you to know there's a different way to do this. Obviously, if Jesus commanded the disciples to heal the sick, Then the backing from heaven was there to do it. Otherwise, Jesus would have been at fault for commanding them to do something they were not empowered or enabled to do. See, Jesus commanded, therefore the power was there to do it. The time Larry got his back healed, I didn't know he had a bad back, and he was up here for prayer, and he walked away, and I said, oh, by the way, your back's healed. I didn't pray for his back. God spoke that through me to tell him his back was healed, and it was. But when he got up the next morning, it was totally healed. You see how this works? Then revelation became clear to me. Jesus never once prayed for the sick, asking his Father to heal them. He simply commanded them to be healed or said, I will be thou healed, and it was done. Sometimes he rebuked a sickness and it left, such as when he rebuked a fever from Peter's mother-in-law in Luke 4:38-39. And the scripture says, now Jesus arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house. But Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her. So Jesus stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she rose and served them. So when I read that, so he rebuked the fever, it had to be a spirit in her that he was rebuking, right? In Matthew 17:18, and Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Jesus didn't pray over this child. He rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. There are a few scriptures where Jesus rebuked the spirits within, and the people were healed. This may strike you as being very controversial and out there on the edge, but what I'm telling you is absolute scripture, and you need to look in your word, and I want you to look in your word and check it out for yourself. Luke 4, verse 40 says, when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. All he did was laid his hands on them. So that's telling me we can get it. We used to do this, have a prayer line and lay hands on people, and they were healed. Never prayed. We didn't even know some people even had a sickness, and they were healed. 41, and demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuking them did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. So that's telling me that we should have enough anointing in us, because God said cast out demons. He commanded us to do that, that when we lay hands on people, the demons should jump out of people. Right? Many have been the prayers sent up for the sick through the ages, and through the mercy of God in answer to those praying, there have been people healed. But there is a better way, and this is the way Jesus healed and instructed his disciples to do. Did Jesus pray? Yes, of course. The Bible says he sometimes stayed up all night praying to his Father. Was he asking the Father to heal people? The Bible doesn't say. But I know if he did not maintain that close relationship with his Father, this is what I'm saying, not this young man, he would not have had the anointing, power, and authority to heal the sick. This is why God has been trying to get us to have that really close relationship with him. Without that close relationship and that holiness, you will not have the anointing to heal the sick. All right? And whenever the disciples came back and couldn't cast out those devils, but Jesus did, he said, this type comes out by fasting and praying. If you're doing deliverance, you should be a fasting and praying person. That should be a lifestyle of yours, fasting and praying. And then when you do deliverance, they'll come out. All right. In John 5:19-21, it is written, then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Now I want to stop there. So we can do nothing more than what we hear and see that Jesus did. All right. Then verse 20 says, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. So what we pick up here is, if we stay close to Jesus and read about what Jesus did, we will see how Jesus did, then we'll do it. And then God loves us and he'll show us what we're praying for. All right. We prayed for one man who was dying, and we knew he was dying, and God said he had wormwood. And I said, God said he's not going to heal him because he has wormwood. And we found out wormwood was bitterness. We had looked that up. I didn't know what it was. And she said, he does not have one bitter bone in his body, but he died. And they even had us go to the funeral home and pray over. And I knew God was not going to raise this man from the dead because they refused to admit that he had bitterness and God just took him. So, you know, that's another reason why people don't get healed, or you can't raise them from the dead or whatever, is because they died in their sin like he did, a bitterness. Are you understanding this? All right, then the verse 21 says, for as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. I want us to look at the raising of Lazarus, John 11:32. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. See, why didn't they have the anointing to keep him alive? You see this? We're the same way. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. I believe with every fiber of my being, and I could be really wrong, that when Jesus was groaning within himself, he was really crying out to the Father to raise Lazarus from the dead when he got there. I really believe he was saying, Father, please be here and honor my words as I speak them forth. I really do believe that. You can, you know, believe whatever, but that's what I believe, because God told me, daughter, whatever you place your hands to do, I will do it for you. All right? And so he was groaning quietly to himself. Well, they must have heard it. And I really believe he was talking to the Father about raising Lazarus. In verse 39, Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? See, they couldn't even believe for the raising of the dead. I want to stop before I forget. Remember Smith's Wigglesworth? He used to go to funeral parlors and yank the dead bodies up out of the wall and keep slamming up against the wall till they came back to life. You know, they'd fall down, he'd pick them up and slam against the wall and can't tell them to come back to life. They finally came back to life. I guess they didn't want to be beat to death, you know. So anyhow, because I read that story, a friend of mine died. I went to his funeral, and he's the one raised from the dead 3 times, and finally he died. And I said to his brother, if I go up there and pray, I know he'll raise up out of that casket. And he said, you sit still. You can't do that in these days. You're going to go to jail. I said, no. I knew that if I went up there, Jesus, God would have raised him. And I said, I know, because I knew within my knowing that I knew that God would raise him. He said, you sit still. And he held me to my chair because I wanted so desperately to go up there and tell him to get up out of that casket. And I know God would have, but they would have put me in jail too, he said. Yeah, you can't be Smith Wigglesworth, can you, Larry? Those days are long gone. Amen. What do they call that? Desecration of a body or something like that. Okay, verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. See, this is why I think he was groaning, talking to the Father. I really do believe that. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Jesus knew that if he talked to his Father, he didn't have to pray that man out of the grave. He just had to say, come forth. And see, if you're in any kind of a ministry at all, you should be praying before you ever reach the sanctuary and asking God to perform the miracles he wants to perform, because he knows everybody's going to be there. So you yourself should already be prayed up for God to work through you. And then whenever you lay your hand out to do something, God will do it for you, because you've already been in his presence and you've already been prayed up. Are you listening here? We know the Lord Jesus healed people because of his great compassion, but also to give us an example how to do it ourselves. See that? Some people say Jesus healed because he was the Son of God. We can't argue about that, can we? Matthew 10:5-8, these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the first thing they're supposed to do. Then heal the sick. Didn't say pray for sick. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. See, I'd read all this. I believed it. See, you have to believe what you read. If you don't believe it, you won't be able to do it, because doubt and unbelief will always be the top line. So whenever you read what Jesus did, then you have to believe that, because, and Jesus said we could do it too, then you have to believe that with every fiber of your being. When you believe with every fiber of your being, then God's going to be there to do what he said he's going to do. Amen. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. When God told me right when we started to have a deliverance ministry, it says here I'm supposed to cast out demons. I didn't think twice about that. Devil, come out in Jesus' name. I ripped clothes off of men's backs because they had cats or something on. You don't wear that kind of stuff. That's. And they went around telling me she tore my shirt off of me. But I gave them another shirt. I mean, I was right out there. I was wild. And you know, I don't care if the devil manifested. He had to come out. And they did. They came right on out. They did not fight me and argue me. No way. They left. You listening? Remember I told you a story about we were doing deliverances on those young people. And, you know, we had two boys who were brothers. And they were at the altar, and I noticed one thing. When we got the one delivered, they jumped over to the other one. So I said, okay, we got to separate these two. We kept one in, took one outside, and was praying for him outside. Brother Chris Gore and another man his size laid upon this young man who was as thin as, a Deborah. And he raised him clear up off the ground. And the people next door just watched exorcism on their TV. And heard all the screaming over there in our house. And so they snuck down the tree line and watched and saw all that. And the next day I got a phone call. Barbara, did we really see what we saw and heard? I said, yeah, you did. You should have come on in, I said. That to me was normal to do, because God said cast out demons. Are you listening? I never thought about it. I didn't care if the neighbors watch. I didn't have enough sense then. I still don't have any sense, all right? Because God's word, we are God's children. This is what we're called to do. Okay, here in Matthew 10:8, when Jesus empowered his disciples, are you a disciple of God? Then if you're walking in the Spirit and walking in holiness, and he has empowered you, because you have to have all the things in line, he has empowered you to heal. That opened the door for all of Jesus' disciples, that's you and me, to be empowered to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out devils. You know, little Isaiah, he got psoriasis, and you see how his body's all blotched, and that looks like leprosy to me, doesn't it to you? So every time I rubbed a salve on him, I say, in the name of Jesus, Father, remove this leprosy from my grandson. And I'm going to see him come completely whole. I don't want him running around life looking like that. Would you? That's terrible. Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. So God freely gives his Spirit to you. You know, he freely heals you. So why don't you go out and heal others? Why don't you do that? I'm waiting for a report of one of you guys say, I was in the supermarket. All right, this is what happened to me. I was in the supermarket, walked down the aisle. Somebody said, oh, what did you do to me? I said, ma'am, I didn't do nothing. I was shy then, too. I was shy out in public, but I wasn't shy in the church. I said, ma'am, I didn't do nothing. Yes, you did. You touched me. You touched me real loud. She was screaming. Ma'am, no, I really didn't. Yes, you did, and I'm healed. Thank God I'm healed. And she carried on, but I didn't touch her. I walked by her. So why don't I hear true reports where you did the same thing, walked into a grocery store and somebody got healed just because you walked by them? Are you understanding this? Come on. All right, Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. How can we know this command is to us today? It is written in Acts 2:36-39. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises to you and to your children and to all who are far off, and as many as the Lord our God will call. God has promises to us as his children. We have the gift. We have the anointing to heal the sick. We have the anointing to cast out demons. Amen. This morning, you know, it wasn't going the way God showed me it was going to go. And then I got down there. I felt the anointing so strong, I couldn't already stand. And God said, they are so bruised and battered inside, they need a word from me before they can receive anything else. And so then you have to tell Aaron, go ahead and start giving them word. And it wasn't that Aaron didn't have the anointing. It wasn't that I didn't have the anointing, or the anointing wasn't here. The people themselves couldn't receive because of the pain that was inside. Are you? So don't think if it isn't going the way God tells you it's going to go, don't think it's you. Just keep listening to the voice of God as you're ministering. You should always have your mind on Christ. Always listen for his voice as you're ministering to people, because he's always going to be telling you what's going on so that you don't stand here with egg on your face and God is disglorified. Are you hearing me? Come on. I've seen so many things happen, a lot of things happen in this church over this pulpit. When I let people come in here and preach, I thought, dear Lord, where did they come from? You know? When the promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit, is that what I meant, right? With the promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit comes the power unto the believer. When you receive the Holy, you can't do without the Holy Spirit. When you receive the Holy Spirit, then comes the power. We need to be using that power to do the works that the Lord Jesus commanded us, including healing the sick. But how freely have we been giving out healing? How many lepers have you cleansed? How many dead have you raised? Not very many. Now, I'm going to be teaching on healing because I know God told me he's going to bring healing back into this church. And I want you guys to understand healing and how it operates, all right? Yes, we've prayed a lot, but looking back, how convincing are the results? You know, whenever God was moving so mightily in here, I was always walking around preaching. I never stood behind here. And people got healed. I didn't know they were sick just by me walking around, just by the anointing on me flowing over into them and healing them. I told you about the man who was terminally ill with cancer. He didn't have but a couple of weeks to live. He got healed that night, but I didn't find out about it. I didn't know he was even sick. But I found out about the girl, his sister came back and said, oh, by the way, the day my brother came, he said, you walked by him, something hit him, he was healed, and he's still living today. That was nice to hear a year later, but that's fine. He still got healed, right? See, the anointing in you should be so strong it jumps onto other people. We can say that most of Jesus' followers since the early church have not been taking advantage of the resources the Lord Jesus made available to them. And I say that because God said that his church is not using all the weapons that he has given us to use. All right? Once in a while, there have been those who, through much study and prayer and revelation, have operated powerfully in areas not even touched by the majority of believers. And it isn't because it isn't available to all of Jesus' followers. It's because they failed to believe it's for them. See, when I started going in that slump, when I prayed for people, I would say, Father, are you going to heal them? That was my start of my downfall. That wasn't even faith at all. That was unbelief. Amen. I don't want you ever go there. If you're going to lay hands on the sick, then you believe. Or if you can't believe, don't even lay hands on them. If you're going to lay hands on the sick, you believe that God is recovering them. Amen. You can't operate in a gift if you don't believe you have it. And see, I was getting, so everybody told me that I was of the devil. Everybody told me I couldn't do what I was doing. And after about 20 some years, I started believing. And wasn't that dumb? You know, I started believing, well, just maybe I shouldn't be doing this. And maybe this isn't of God. Maybe this is of the devil. You see what I'm saying? So you can't operate in a gift of God if you don't believe you have it. Let's look at an example written of the disciple Peter in Acts 9:36. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydia was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then, see, they knew Peter could heal the sick. Or raise the dead, all right? Then Peter rose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out. He didn't need a show. And knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body, he said, and he wasn't praying over the body, who was he praying to? The Father. And turning to the body, that's why I say he wasn't praying over the body, he said to Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. He prayed to the Father, when I speak, let the power and anointing be there to let her raise from the dead. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. See, just watching the miracles caused people to believe. And this is why God is bringing he's bringing the miracles back into this church, because he wants the people to see, the world to see the miracles so that they'll believe. Not so we can show off, but so the world can believe in the Father. So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon a tanner. Peter had been with Jesus, you know, when he walked the earth, and heard his teachings, all right? After Peter received the Holy Spirit, after Jesus died, Peter received the Holy Spirit and the power thereof, he healed the sick and raised the dead. It wasn't until he received the Holy Spirit and received the power that he healed the sick and raised the dead, even after Jesus had returned to heaven. You see this? You're just not going to willy-nilly go out there and do it, guys. You're going to have to, there's a price to pay. Terrible price to pay for the miracles to work through you. I want you to notice something here. Paul prayed, then laid hands on him and healed him. Oh, I skipped something there, didn't I? The Apostle Paul was not a follower of Jesus until after Jesus had ascended into heaven. The Apostle Paul was not a follower of Jesus until after Jesus had ascended into heaven. Yet the power of the Holy Spirit was in Paul to heal. We can read of an example in Acts 28:8. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went into him and prayed, and he laid hands on him and healed him. See, he prayed to the Father. Then he laid hands on the person, and he was healed. I want you to notice something here. Paul prayed, then laid his hands on him, and he healed him. I believe Paul prayed like Jesus said, I know you hear me. I'm going to tell you, I've said that to God many times, God, I know you're hearing what I'm doing. And I'm asking you to please come and manifest yourself here tonight. Amen. We don't actually know what Paul prayed, it doesn't say, but we focus on the part where it says, and healed him. That was an act of obedience by walking in the authority granted him by Christ Jesus. It is written in James 5:13, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayers of faith will save the sick. Didn't say heal, did it? It'll save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. Why? That you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I don't know how many times people call me to come and pray for them because they were sick in the hospital or something. And I'd go in, anoint them with oil and pray for them. They never got healed. I know why. I'm not supposed to pray over them. I'm supposed to heal them. I'm supposed to be in the presence of the Father asking God to go to the hospital with me. And when I pray, when I lay hands on them, they automatically, when miraculously are healed, not automatically, miraculously healed. Are you understanding this? I don't necessarily see anything in these verses that indicate the person was physically healed by the prayer of faith, simply that the sick would be saved. And the Lord shall raise him up at the last day, and his sins shall be forgiven him. The context of this passage was talking about salvation. And people use this passage to argue the point that we need to pray for people and just not to heal them. And I'm going to teach you about praying too. But I want you to see the most, if it's a miracle, is you're not praying for their healing. You're speaking to God and saying, God, I want this person raised from the dead because your word says I can do that. I want the cancer to disappear from their body because your word says that you'll heal the sick. You see what I'm saying here? But healing comes by command, as Jesus taught his disciples. Healing comes by command. And with some of the sicknesses I've had in my body, God said it's come from witchcraft or voodoo, or he tells you what it's coming from. And he said, when you break those, then the healing will take place. See, so I don't need people rubbing my head raw with oil. You know, I need to break the power of the demonic atmosphere, that being that's working in my body. Then the healing's going to manifest itself. It's time we stopped praying for the sick and started healing them, according to the commandment of Jesus. In Luke 7:21-23, it says, "And that in that very hour he cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight." In verse 22, Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them." John the Baptist wanted to know, was Jesus the real thing? And so Jesus did all these miracles. Then he said, now go tell John. Amen. Verse 23, "And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." The following scripture speaks about infirmities in Matthew 8:17, Luke 5:15, and Luke 7:21-23 talks about infirmities. Okay. And then Luke 7:21 says, "In that very hour, he cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight." Jesus answered, said to them, oh, I read that. All right. Yeah. Let's go down to Luke 8:2. Then skip down to where it says, "There are two scriptures speaking about praying for the sick, and they are James 5:13-15 and Matthew 19:15. Now Matthew 19:13-15 says, "Then little children were brought to him," to Jesus, "that he might put his hands on them and pray." He wasn't praying for healing, right? "But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, 'Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven.' And he laid his hands on them and departed from there." He was not, see, as I was studying this, they were trying to say right there proves that you have to pray for people to have them healed. God, Jesus was just laying hands on them. He was not healing them. So we need to quit twisting the scriptures. All right, there are three scriptures that speak of healing. That's Matthew 10:8, Luke 9:2, and Luke 10:9. Then John 5:19 says, "Then Jesus answered and said to them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner.'" Now, we read this before, but I'm reading this at the very end because I want you to know that unless you know what Jesus did, you're not going to be able to do what Jesus did. So unless you get into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and read, just like God told me to do a long time ago, and read and study what Jesus did, you're not going to know what's right and what is wrong. You have to know what Jesus did in order to do what Jesus did, right? All right, verse 20 says, for the Father loves his Son and shows him all things that he himself does. So Jesus loves us, and he's going to show us how to do these things. He's going to tell us how to do these things because he loved. That's what his Father did to him. And he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. Remember, God said, we are going to do the greater works. So this is where we're headed. We're headed into the greater works. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. Now, you can take this a couple ways. It says, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. You might pray for somebody to raise from the dead, but they might not be raised. And God always knows best. So if I was you, I would say, Father, can I raise this person from the dead? Is it for his benefit or her benefit if I raise them from the dead? All right? Because like the young man that raised from the dead three times, and then the fourth time when God said he was going to die, you know, he went home, then God told me, come to where I was working, and told me he was going to go in the hospital, and this time he's going to die. And I said, God, why? He said, because he did not obey what I told him to do when I raised him from the dead three times before. And if you let me take him right now, he is in my will. But if you don't, he won't ever come to heaven. He'll die and go to hell. The decision's yours, daughter. Do you want him to go to heaven or to hell? I'll do whatever you ask me to do. So I could have been, oh, I want to raise him for the fourth time from the dead and got, you know, big-headed. But no, I thought about it, and I said, God, if he's really going to go to hell, then you go ahead and take him. He's all right. You'll get a phone call at 5 o'clock in the morning that he's dead. I got a phone call 5 o'clock in the morning he died. I could have prayed the fourth time, but God knew he wouldn't serve him. So God told me, he come and told me, daughter, this is what's going to happen. So this is why I say to you, before you go around raising the dead, just so you say, I raised the dead, you know, ask the Father. Should I pray for them to be raised from the dead? All right. Larry died a couple times when he had his heart surgery. I was not sitting there praying for him to live or die. I wasn't doing anything. I said, God, I'm sitting here and your presence is here. And whatever you want to do with him, you go ahead and do, because you know your perfect will for his life. And every time he was near death, God bring him back. He died a couple times, God brought him back, because God still had a plan and purpose for his life. I wasn't sitting there on my hands and knees crying out to God. I wasn't fasting or praying. I was fasting, but I'd been fasting before he got sick. But I wasn't doing all that. I wasn't sobbing, woo, 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 you got to bring him back to life. I wasn't doing none of that. I just said, God, I'm sitting here, and I'm your vessel, and your anointing's pouring out from me through this room, and so your will be done with his life. Are you understanding this? So I heard somebody say, she sat in there for hours upon hours upon hours and prayed and prayed and prayed. I said, no, I didn't. I didn't. I was doing crossword puzzles. You know what crossword puzzles give you in the hospital? Because I'd already said, God, he's in your hands. And God, whatever your will is for life, then you go ahead and do it. You know best. I prayed. I just sat there with the anointing. That's all I did. If you're serving God with all your heart, if you're walking in total holiness with every fiber of your being, if you have the Holy Spirit, then you are empowered, and you do have the power to raise the dead. But make sure that that's good for the person. When Ted's mother died, I went into the hospital room, and I started weeping. Why did I? I started weeping because God says she's going to die by tomorrow morning. She'll be dead. And I just started crying. And so we went out in the waiting room, and the sister said, oh, you poor thing. I know you cried because you wasn't ready to see Mom the way she was. She didn't look bad to me. But anyhow, you know, it wasn't that. I didn't even bother explaining. Because, you know, don't cast your pearls before the swine. I just let them believe what they wanted to believe, but I knew what I knew. And I told, when I got in the car, I said, Ted, your mother's going to be dead by morning. God told me that. He said, I figured he told you that. She was dying because he knew me, you know. And so she did. You know, why would you want to walk around in this world dead? Why would you not want to die out to your flesh and receive all that anointing from God, all that power from God, and help other people? I'm going to tell you, because I did that does not make me famous. It, I have been going through more persecution than I went through in my life just because I was serving God. And God was using me for signs, wonders, and miracles. So if you're in it to get recognition, forget about it. If you get recognition, then you're of the devil. Because the devil will raise up his own, you know. And you know, if you're in this for the right reason, people are going to they're going to talk about you. They're going to persecute you. And I was reading the other day, you know, the people around, the pastors around here told everybody, don't go to that church because she's of the devil. And I was reading where they said that about Jesus, that Jesus had a demon. And see, I've read that, but I forgot about it. I said, well, praise God. They said, I wrote that down in my little book too. That was another thing they said about me. And because God said, everything they say about my son, they're going to say about you. All right, so there's another thing. If you want to be just like Jesus, then you get in there and see all the bad things that happened to him, because all those things are going to happen to you too, because you're not better than Jesus. And this is what God told me. He said, daughter, read what they did to my son. I did, and I quit complaining. Jesus went through suffering too. I'm glad I never had to go to the cross. Amen. I'm glad I was never drugged through the streets. Having your head cut off wouldn't be too bad, because you're gone, you know. You wouldn't suffer. But I'm glad I'm, you know, not one of the disciples and the bad ways. I'm glad I'm not being stoned to death. Amen. But we do, if you're walking the way you should walk, then you have the power, you have the authority, and you can heal the sick. Remember, you are not the healer. Christ is. You're merely his servant here on earth carrying out his work. So if you're going to get all big-headed and say, oh, look what I did, well, you're done. Because you're just taking glory for something you never did, that you were just a vessel. God does the work. He sends the anointing. This morning he told me exactly what he wanted me to do and exactly what was going to happen. It wasn't working. And Aaron thought something was wrong with him, because he could feel all that. He didn't understand, but you feel their darkness. And so that's why I said, okay, God, what do we do next? You know, I said to myself, to God, he said, they need a word. So you need to learn to talk to God when you're ministering to people. Come on. You know, because if God said they're going to do something and they're not doing it, you need to know why they're not doing it. Instead of smacking my head, knocking them down. All right, I said, Father, what's going on here? He said, they're so wounded, they need a word before they can receive. After they received a word, they received. They just, even when I was teaching, I could see their faces. You know, they were really messed up. They couldn't quite believe what I was teaching to begin with. But they were, you could see the hurt and the pain, you know. And, you know, so many people hurt. I have been hurt in churches too, but I didn't die over it. My God, if that's going to kill me, I might as well go bury myself. Don't worry about if somebody's going to hurt you in the church. They hurt Jesus, the church did. It was a church that crucified him. And you're fussing because some pastor, they not only kicked me out, they also talked about me. Also emptied out my church a couple of times. Come on. If you're that thin-skinned, don't even think about working for God. Because you won't. The devil will have you under some post somewhere. If you think you're going to heal the sick, if you think that you're going to raise the dead, if you think that you're going to make the blind eyes open, then you better be the soldier God's calling you to be, and you better be walking in holiness like God's calling you, so you are empowered from on high to do the works he's calling you for to do. Now, do you just want to walk around and say, oh, poor thing, she's in church for 6 months and died? Or do you want to say they walked into the church full of cancer and the glory of God was so strong that we prayed before they ever got there? God, whoever walks in is sick, healed them the minute they walk through the door. And as they walk through the door, they're healed. They just get to jumping and screaming around out there in the hallway that Aaron won't know what to do with himself. Amen. He'll think they have a hoedown down on there. He'll start dancing with them. It used to happen that way. And God said, it's about ready to happen again. And that's why I'm teaching the things I'm teaching, so you understand what's going on. And, you know, so we hold a meeting. So I don't show up, but the miracles still take place. We didn't need her. You didn't need me to begin with. All right? But you do need me. Or the anointing wouldn't be here. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Barbara, you know, they need you as a leader to this women's globe, because if not, the anointing won't be there. You know, we have to understand, no, we aren't the one that does the work, but God's called you as a vessel to work through. And so you have to work on getting the anointing going, and then you have to keep it going. And so if you go out, just like whenever I used to, the people thought it was funny to lay hands on me. My people did. They were a sweet bunch of people. I'd walk in there. They said, let's get her. Here she comes. And lay hands on me. And I'd go out in the spirit. And then somebody else had to do the preaching. The anointing was still here. And I'm laying back there on the floor, listening to everything that's going on. Can't move a muscle. I said, God, don't let him do this. He said, I got it covered. And the anointing still went on. The healing still went on. Whatever, it still went on. Didn't matter if I was standing here or you know, if I was laying back there. Are you understanding this? Oh, I'm afraid to go out in the spirit for fear God won't be able to do something. He can't do anything if you don't go out in the spirit. Because you think you're the one that's doing it. Amen? All right. We're not going to pray for the sick, right? We're going to get the anointing flowing so strong in us that we're going to heal the sick. I used to wear claws whenever I preached, and we'd send them all over the place. People write in, would you please send me a prayer cloth? You know, I did all kind of things like that, and people were healed. Why? Because God had anointed me with a healing anointing. And I'm going to tell you the reason why the healing stopped, because God told me, he said, daughter, he said, I have stopped my healing in all the churches because they're trampling on my son's blood. But he also told me, I think 2 years ago, I have brought healing back in to the house of God. And I'm hearing about people healing, people all over the place. The Harfouche, I think I pronounced it right, their ministry, they're seeing blind eyes open, they're seeing lame people walk, they're seeing all kind of miracles. Restoration of arms and legs, they're seeing all kind of miracles. Why? A husband and wife are in total unity. And they're walking in holiness, and they have children here walking in holiness and total unity with them, and God can't do anything but bless and move. Are you listening? So if you're going to walk with God, you have to get in unity. You have to have love as a foundation, and that family's full of love. If you don't know them, you need to get acquainted with them. You know, just their ministry, they're full of love. And when I first started seeing them, I said, well, God, they're a little weird, but then they must be anointed. And as I watched them, they were anointed. I noticed every weird person is anointed. You pay attention to that. Amen. You know, like Kathy Walters, you know, she walks around, you know, throws water on you, you know, and just walks around. If you're went to a minister, she really doesn't do nothing but walk around and laugh or say something silly, and God moves. Cat Kerr, pink hair, God moves. You see what I'm saying? It's these pious people all dressed up and think they're all that and then some that God can't move through because they're too full of their self that Jesus can't get in. Adam, he prophesizes in poem, you know. He rhymes. And some people said, listen to him. Then here come Aaron singing. I said, what? You know. But this is the way God moves through Adam. It's... What did I tell you it was? Adam, I forgot. It's been him. He has poetic prophecy. And if you listen to it, I thought it was always wonderful, but people have laughed about it. But, you know, you need to watch how you laugh. You'd be surprised what God might do to you to make you look stupid. Amen. And he doesn't do that to make people look stupid. But don't make fun of how God uses anybody. We had somebody in church that did that one time. And you know, and the girl had just the first time visit there, and I said, and God said, I want you to set her in that chair. This is my home. And then I want everybody to march around her, and she's going to lay hands on them, and they're going to go out in the spirit. So I did what God told me, and this one lady who was there who thought she was all that and then some, she said, "That isn't God." Well, when she laid hands on her, have you ever tried, you know, being on your feet and bending clear back with your hands behind you on the ground for an hour and a half? Well, that's what God did to her. Don't make fun of God's what God does. We had a pastor come in the church and that's not God. And I said, "God, show her that you," and he glued her to the wall. She could not get off of the wall. Don't be poking fun at what God does. Amen. You just keep your mouth shut because you don't know what he's going to do with you. So tonight, what is it you want from God is what I want to know. Not God, but I want. What is it you want from God? Why do you keep walking around the outskirts of the anointing? Why don't you just get into the river? Why don't you just get into the anointing that destroys every yoke? You know, there's people out there in bondage that need you to get it together. So I think you need to get it together tonight. And I think we need to come to the altar. And I think you just now need to allow God to touch you in a different way than he's ever touched you before. So that whenever you see somebody sick, say, "Father, I'm like your son Jesus. And I know you hear me. So when I walk up to that person, I want them healed in the name of Jesus." Then walk up and just lay hands on them. Watch what God does to them. God wants to give you that kind of anointing tonight if you want it. You don't have to be partaker of that. You know, that anointing will heal yourself too, you know.